Take your holy book, turn to James chapter number 4. Amen. James chapter number 4. James asked these questions. He says this, verse number 1. He said, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence from your lust that wars in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You asked and received not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Spirit saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brethren and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I want to preach just a little while this evening, if God will be my help, on the church in the world. Amen? The church in the world. Now, the church in the world is right. Amen? The church in the world is right. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But what's messed up is when the world tries to get into the church. Amen? We got to be real careful that the world doesn't get into church. You say, well, what's the difference? The difference is that the church, amen, is in the world. But the world isn't in church. It's kind of like a boat on the water. Now, it's okay for a boat to be on the water. That's a good thing. Boats are designed to be on the water. Ain't there, Brother Junior? Amen. But it's not good for water to be in the boat. Amen. Brother Junior could tell you many instances with him and his dad where it wasn't a good thing because water was getting in the boat. It's a good thing for the boat to be in the water. That's what it should be. The church should be in the world, but the world shouldn't be in the church. Amen? There's got to be a separation there. Amen. Praise God. Just like that water has to be outside that boat, and that's all right. As long as it stays out there, everything's good. Amen? That's the way it should be. But when that boat starts taking on water, when that water starts getting inside the boat, hey, it ain't going to take too long for that boat to sink. Amen? So we got to be real careful today in the air we live, praise God, because the church is an important thing that God uses. Amen. He uses and He uses us, me and you. We are the church. It's not this building that we come to worship in. It's not this building we gather in. But this is the place where we come to worship God. We worship Him in spirit and in truth because He speaks to our hearts. Amen. Praise God. See, it's a sad thing in the day we live. The church is in the world, but it's a sad thing in the generation that we live. We believe it's possible to accept Christ without forsaking the world. Amen? You can't do it. That's what the world's doing today. That's what the church is doing. The world's coming in church because the church is trying to worship God, have Christ as your Savior, and still live in this world. Live for the world, and we can't. We have to separate ourselves from the world. Amen? We have to be different. We have to be unique in the world in which we live. Praise God. Amen? We see how things is playing out. Now, the early church, they used to say, behold how them folks love each other. Amen? That's what people said. You know, we knew people in the church because they loved one another. The Bible teaches that, praise God, we know that we're saved, that we're children of God, because we love the brethren. We love brothers and sisters of Christ. We love each other. Amen. We're here to help each other, encourage each other, lift up each other. Amen? But it doesn't seem to be that way today. The world looks at us today and say, behold the church, how they compete against each other. Amen? Churches shouldn't be competing against each other. We're in this together. To lift up the name of Jesus, to magnify His name. This is not a competition. Amen? We're here just to be helped of the Lord and try to help somebody in the Lord so that things can be a little bit better farther down. So that our children, our grandchildren, praise God, can have a place. They praise God. Amen? But why is it? Why is it sometimes that it's so hard for God's people to just get along? Have you ever thought about that? Why is it hard for God's people now, I'm not talking about the lost world, I'm talking about God's people to get along. James tells us why here. He begins to break it down for us, and he talks about the church in the world. But he said when the world starts coming into the church, he said then things go awry. Amen? Let me just give you some of these right quickly. We read this whole chapter, and I'm not going to try to preach everything in it because it'd take us 2 or 3 days. But I want to just give you about 4 or 5 things right quickly, praise God, that James is trying to reiterate to our hearts to get us to understand. Amen? First thing he tells us here in verses 1 through 3 is about selfishness. He says, why do we act the way that we do? Because we tend to be selfish, don't we? Amen? We do. Amen. And he said, there's wars among us. And they come from, and they're caused by wars within us. He said, that's what he says. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not even from your lust, that war in your members? He said, so the selfishness comes out because we have wars, because it's what's taking place inside of us. Amen. Praise God. He said, and we got to realize it's what's taking place. It's the devil that does that. And it's this old flesh which we live in. And see, we said this morning, the devil's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere all the time. But God is omnipresent. And when God lives in your heart, praise God, He's there to help you in every circumstance, in every instance, praise God. And we realize it's because of the lust of your flesh, your own selfish desires. Amen. Now, when we counsel with young couples before they get married, we take them to this verse when we talk about dealing with conflict. Amen? When you start dealing with conflict, it's because of those wars that's a warring among you. And most of the time, it's because of selfishness, self-centeredness, where we want something more than we love our maid, our chosen one. Amen? And God says that what happens is a lust on one part. And now you have to realize that everybody has a part. Okay? This stuff ain't all one-sided. Everybody plays a part in every war that happens. Amen? Wars are happening, that the disagreements come up. But he would also say not to go to bed angry. Amen? In Ephesians, he says, Ephesians chapter 4, he said not to go to bed angry. Said we ought to make those things better, praise God. We ought to get over ourselves and we ought to trust the Lord and ask Him to help us in our relationships. God can be pleased with our reactions. See, we have actions and reactions. Amen? And we got to be careful about how we do it, praise God. If we ain't careful, we get into thinking about what pleases ourselves and we forget about pleasing those others. Amen. Being kind to others. And you say, well, preacher, what if I do something in myself, praise God, and it hurts somebody else? What about that? Amen. It's not a good thing. We ought to be trying to do those, to never do those things that would hurt somebody else. He said we're supposed to use everything to the edifying, the uplifting of each other, of the brethren, of the church, of our families, our friends, our spouse, those around us, to make them think that they're special. You know, we have Valentine's Day and Mother's Day and Father's Day and birthdays, and we tend to try on these special days to do things that kind of lift up, encourage that person. And that's a good thing because it's a special day. And these people in our life are special people. Now listen to me, I'm going somewhere. Are special people to us. But if these people are really as special as we want them to think that they are, what if we done that every day? What if every day we forgot about us, put ourselves on the back burner and said, you know what, I just want to be there. I just want to see you happy. Amen? Praise God. What a difference it would make. But we're living in a world. The world is trying to come into the church and it's saying, you know, just whatever you do, you know, you want to be feel good. You want to be happy. And I told you what, happiness depends on what happens. But joy comes from the Lord. And we know the Lord, praise God, and we encourage others and we try to edify and uplift others more than ourselves. God gets the glory. And the joy comes out, praise God. He puts us under the spout where the glory comes out, and God begins just to bless us on purpose. And James says, what's happening here because of selfishness? Said, you're missing the blessings of God. Amen. He said, we have to take care. We have to be careful even how we pray. Amen. He said, you ask, receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. He said, we need to be careful even how we pray. That we're not praying, praise God, for ourselves, or praying in a selfish way, because if we ain't careful how we pray, it can become a selfish prayer. Amen. You know, kind of like when we take our, a wish list to the Lord and say, Lord, you know how I'm at, you know, Lord, I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this other thing. Amen. And then He blesses us and He helps us, but we never praise Him, give Him glory for what He has given us. Amen. He said in a relationship, we ought to be praising God every day just because we have a relationship. Amen. He said that is a gift from the Lord to have that relationship. Amen. He said, so we got to get rid of that selfishness. We got to get it out of the way and we got to just allow God, praise God, to be the center of our lives so that we can encourage and edify others around. Amen. Lift them up, praise the Lord. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. Let me just give you a quick example. I love to hunt. Amen. I haven't been doing it much lately. But turkey season come in and some of these youngins wanted to go turkey hunting. Now, I mean, there may be somebody here don't believe in hunting. But listen to me. It's okay. I'm part of PETA, okay? I'm a part of PETA. I agree with them 100%, Brother Bill. I'm on their side. People eating tasty animals. I'm right there. Okay? And so some of these youngins would like to go hunting. And I said, if you really do, I said, we'll go. Amen? I mean, I could have been selfish and arrogant and said, well, you know, I ain't got mine yet, so I ain't taking you. Turkey nuggets are wonderful. Slice them in back about 1-inch strips and little 1-inch blocks and roll them and then season them. My goodness. Wonderful. Amen. But it wasn't about that. It's just about taking the opportunity to let somebody enjoy themselves. Amen. To see what God has put out there. See the nature that God has given us. It's a gift of God. Amen. And so we was allowed to go, and we got out there and had a good opportunity to take a few nice birds. Amen. I'll just leave it at that. And well, what a blessing it was. You say, well, didn't it bother you that you didn't get to pull the trigger? Not a bit. I rejoiced in just being with these younger than you and getting to see them enjoy that. Amen. Praise God. It's a blessing just to be able to be an encouragement to someone else. It's not about me. So he said the selfishness has to be put out of the way. And he said, when you get rid of that selfishness, then you'll get rid of the worldliness. Amen? That worldliness that comes in. Well, we see Bible teaches us, he said in verse number four, he said, ye adulterers, adulterers. He said, adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amen? He said, we've got to separate ourselves from the world. The Bible says he gives us a perfect example of separation. Remember Abraham, the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Actually, he says it right here in James chapter 2 in verse 23. He said, the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed, put on his account, unto him for righteousness. And he was called what? A friend of God. Amen. So he was, why? Because he separated himself unto the Lord. He made a decision, amen, that God was great and God was good and he was just going to follow God. He was going to go with God. He believed God and God counted to him for righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. He was called a friend of God. Well, I would that I could be called a friend of God. Amen. The good God of heaven, the God that created the universe. Amen. But then on the other hand, we see his nephew Lot. Remember Lot? Their servants was contending one with another because of their closeness, too close together. And Abraham said, Lot, just choose you out. Well, you go one way and I'll go another. What did Lot do? He looked at that well-watered plain that headed toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, I'll take that one. Amen? And it said Lot went down there into that worldliness, and he gathered there. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 19 that he was sitting at the gate doing business. He was doing business in the world. Amen? Abraham was doing business for God. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Amen. Praise God. He wasn't looking to settle for second best. He could have chose that path. He could have went that direction. But he chose within himself to stay with God. And God blessed him. Amen. It kept him out of the worldliness. The Bible said Lot got down there and had to live in that wicked place. It said it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Was Lot saved? He said he had a righteous soul. But his soul was vexed from living in the world. So what we do is the church comes, praise God, it's in the world, but it's not of the world. Amen. Praise God. So we get away from the selfishness. We get away from selfishness. Praise God. You can get away from the worldliness. Amen. We can depart from it. But why won't we? Why won't we depart from this world and the things that's in it? Amen. You know the number one reason why we won't? Is because of pride. Pride is a rascal. Pride is a scoundrel. Amen? Pride is something that rises up in all of us if we ain't careful. Amen? I'll share a story with you right quickly. The Bible said they was a young couple that was just starting out. They were running well. It was just as if they were in paradise itself. Everything was so good. Everything was just right. There was nothing to disturb them. There was nothing to keep them from pressing on. There was nothing to hinder them. There was nothing to hold them back. They were running. They were just starting out in this. They had a perfect relationship in a perfect place, in a perfect atmosphere, with a perfect God. Amen. They were running well. Amen. What in the world could hinder that? What could change their direction? Pride. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3. Bible said God created Adam, put him in a garden. He said he realized that he needed a helpmeet. Somebody that was fit to be with him to help him. That's why I tell people all the time that when you start to get married, you need to make sure you get a fit helpmeet. Somebody that's fit for you that'll help you. That'll help you to grow. It'll help you to in the right relationships. Amen? It's somebody you need to wait on. I tell our young people all the time, hey, don't go out and try to hunt you up one. You'll find one, but it won't be the right one. We need to pray and ask God to send somebody our way, praise God, that'll be that perfect helpmeet for us. But story continued, they go into the garden, you got this man, this woman, they're putting this beautiful, beautiful place, and just a little while down the road, here comes the old serpent. Bible says he's more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The old subtle serpent, he comes down and he says, hey, listen, didn't God say that you could partake in anything in the garden? And the woman answered him this. Now, you remember she had it in everything in perfection. They wasn't nothing wrong. Amen. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. See, that's a lie of the devil. The devil's full of lies. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. He takes you further than you want to go, and he keeps you longer than you want to stay. And he never shows you the means to get back to that place of peace and happiness and prosperity. Amen? He's a deceiver, a destroyer. That's what he does. That's what he's done from the beginning. He rose up in pride. He said, I will ascend to the throne of God. I'll be like God. And God had created him, praise God, to be that anointed serum, praise God, to worship and to lead the music and worship in heaven. But he rose up, praise, because of pride. And ever since his fall, he's been trying to catch us up in pride and take us out too. Amen? That's what he does. To get us caught up in unbelief so that we won't believe God. Amen? And he said, ye shall not surely die. He said, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now watch this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. See, what pride does, it gets you in a circumstance, and then you've got to try to manufacture righteousness to cover up for your mistakes. Amen? And it doesn't work. Listen, we're not going to get anything on God because He's all-knowing. Amen? To the dividing, the Bible says, to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow of the bones, praise God. He knows. Amen? That's the God I'm talking about. But they got caught up in pride. And pride led them down the wrong ways. So their perfect, happy honeymoon life was ended on that day. Did they die? Yeah. The devil was right. He did. They weren't just going to fall dead immediately, but they would begin to die. God had created Adam and Eve in the garden and put them there, gave them everything they needed, praise God, to nourish them. They would go to sleep at night, wake up in the morning brand new. Amen? That's the way God created us to be. He created to be in the garden, go to sleep at night, wake up in the morning, a brand new person. Amen. All that old fatigue from day before would be evaporated, it'd be gone, and you'd be perfect soundness again. Amen. And for years and years, people lived for hundreds of years. And then it's because sin crept in, because of selfishness, because of a worldliness, because of pride, we begin to die.
And our lifespan began to get shorter and shorter and shorter. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we was talking about the lifespan. And the lifespan out in the Old West, you know, when the cowboys and the Indians was out running around and things was happening out there, they said the average lifespan was only 55 to 60 years old. That was an old person. Of course, we've advanced in that now because of doctors being prevalent and because of medicine. We've advanced that to many, many years. And now people are starting to live up to 100 and over again. Amen? Because God's grace, because of His mercy. But because of pride. And pride will rise up and it'll take you down. And that's what James is trying to tell us here. He said this pride that rises up in us, it'll cause us to fall. It'll cause us to come up short. And then he would go on into verse number 9 and he said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Amen. He said, are you laughing? He said, you ought to be weeping in sorrow for our sins. Amen. Asking God's forgiveness. He said, we need to be resisting the devil. Amen. Resisting the devil. He said, submit yourself therefore to God. How you resist the devil? By submitting to God. Amen. You submit yourself to the Lord and praise God. And then when you do that, then when the old devil comes along, you just say, Jesus, 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 and he has to flee. But when we submit and we commit ourselves unto the Lord, praise God, he said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen. He said, then once the devil's gone, you got him off your back, you got him, hey, praise God, he's left you alone for a minute because he's not omnipresent. And while you have that time, praise God, be at that time alone with God. And he said, then draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. Get a close relationship with the Lord. Amen. And then we start calling upon the Lord. Like Miss G says all the time, Jesus, when we need to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise God. Believe it in your heart, praise God. Confess it with your mouth, praise the Lord. And there he is. He shows up, praise God, just to bless us and to help us. Amen. But the question we have to ask ourselves, are we resisting the devil? Or are we resisting the Lord? Amen. That's the two factions that we're up against, or we're up against or with. Amen. Either the devil or the Lord. We have to make that choice. The devil's real. Amen. He's just as real as I'm talking to you today. He's real. The demons of hell are real. They're just as wicked and vile as they've ever been. They're out to destroy man. They're out to destroy humanity. That's why they want that. That's why the transgender, the homosexual thing is so big now, because the devil wants to destroy humanity. He wants to destroy, and so he goes against what God created and the way that he created it. Bible says, and I read in your hearing, he said, God created male and female, created he them. And he put them together in the first marriage, put them in the garden, praise God, in a place of safety where they could be there, take care of each other, and have fellowship with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's the way it's meant to be. But we have to put up that resistance. We have to resist the devil. Amen. And we have to draw nigh unto the Lord. Amen. Cleansing our hands, purifying our hearts. Can't be double-minded. Amen. We have to choose who we'll serve. Jeremiah said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We can and we should. Amen. So we see a selfishness, we see worldliness, and we see pride. But then he says we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in criticism. Amen. We don't want to be a criticizing people. Criticizing. Amen. It's easy, now listen, it's easy, praise God, to hide our sins, our sinfulness, amen, in trying to expose others. That's what a lot of people do. God help us that we don't. But we try to cover up our sinfulness, the things we do wrong, and by accusing somebody else, exposing their sins. Somebody said, well, you know, brother, sister, you know, this ain't right, you know, God ain't pleased with this. The first thing we do, we appoint somebody else. Say, well, look what they're doing. Amen. You know who God's concerned about? He's concerned about me. He's concerned about you. Amen. When we look at somebody else and say, well, somebody else does that, trying to expose their sins, their sinfulness, the things they're doing is contrary to God and godliness. Amen. And just ask God to help me. I need His help. See, I was a little bitty feller at 7 years old over in Old Grove Church, and my granddad's preaching on hell one night and pray God, or one Sunday morning. It was real. I mean, it was real in my life. I realized that I was a sinner and needed a Savior. And Jesus Christ come my way, praise God, showed me that He came to save me. Amen. I knew I was a sinner. Amen. At 7 years old, but 14 years old, 14, 50, whatever it was, 1976. Amen. Jesus come by, praise God, that night. And I knew I was a sinner, praise God, but the little old preacher said, Jesus is the Savior of sinners. Amen. He came to seek and to save those that was lost. I said, well, glory to God, that's me. I'm lost. Amen. Boy, it's like a light went off in my head. I praise God, a big old light bulb, praise God. I thought about a 5,000 water. Amen. Said, hey, son, that's you. And Jesus came to seek you. He found you. Here I am, Lord. And save me by His marvelous grace. Amen. Begin to minister to my heart and to help me along the way. So we've got to be careful with our criticism about others. Amen. We've got to be careful with our gossip and our slander. Amen. We've got to be careful because it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. He said we ought to be speaking those things that edify and uplift, encourage. Praise God. It grieves the Spirit, not only grieves the Spirit, but it divides the family. How many families know, maybe even your family, that's divided because of gossip? Amen? Because of slander, because of rumors. Amen. Praise God. We're to be praying for each other. I tell everybody all the time, if you want to talk about me, talk about me, but talk about me to Jesus. Amen. He's the one that can help me. He's the one that gives me direction. He came in to show me the errors of my ways and the goodness of His. Amen. So things start lining up so I can get back over. I'd like to be a walking with Him in soundness. Amen. Realizing who God is and what He wants to do for us today, it makes all the difference in the world. So we see that James is trying to reiterate to us here, praise God, the selfishness, the worldliness, the pride, and the criticism, praise God, doesn't need to be a part of our lives. She said, how do you get rid of that, preacher? It's all there. You know, this old natural man that we are, you know, this flesh and bone that we live in, that's not saved. Amen? That is not saved. Praise God. It's the soul that lives inside us that's saved. And what we have to do, he says here, we have to yield, submit ourselves to God and allow Him to work on that inward person so that the outward person will bring glory and honor to God. So that we can have a right relationship with one another. Amen? So that things can get back on track for God's glory. God does that. There's nobody else that can do that. There's no other supposed God in this world that can do what God, our God, can do. And Jesus Christ Himself accomplished that. Amen. When He died on the cross of Calvary, shed His blood for our sins, and rose victorious over death and the grave. Praise God. It brought us in a perfect place, a perfect a hope in Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God's call is for me and you is to be witnesses. We're not supposed to be judges. We're not supposed to judge one another. Now, He does say that we're supposed to be fruit inspectors. Brothers and sisters of Christ, He says we're supposed to be fruit inspectors. And if we see somebody and it looks like our fruit's a little rotten, we need to, you know, pray for them, encourage them in the right direction. Amen. We're not their judges. Amen. I'm not nobody's judge, praise God, because by the grace of God, I'm apt to do the same things that they're doing. Amen? But pray God, by the grace of God, I am what I am, as Paul would say. He keeps me and directs me and helps me to stay on the right path. So we see that criticism, that gossiping, and that slander don't need to be a part. We just need to be the witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then James gets into a big one here, and as he closes out his message here in chapter number 4, and he talks to us about boasting. Bragging. Amen? Do you realize when we uh, when we go out during the day or we start like this evening, and I can say, Brother Bill, well, you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and you know, I'm going to plan my day out, and I'll just go ahead and tell you what I'm going to do moment by moment, hour by hour, and this is what I'm going to do. And he said, that's boasting. He said, because we can't do nothing. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. Amen. So we got to be careful that we don't boast. Praise God. We need to realize that we have to do that that's pleasing to God. If it be the will of God, we'll do this or do that. Amen. If the good Lord will help, hey, if the good Lord don't help us, we might not get out of bed in the morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was running along well yesterday. Got up this morning, couldn't even walk. My left knee gave me a fit. Amen, Brother Bill. It gets ugly. Praise God, but God's able. Amen. If it be God's will, praise God, He'll help me get up out of the bed in the morning. He'll help me do the things, praise God, that I need to do. And then at the end of the day, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, Lord, thank you for helping me to do that. I could have never made it without you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's there. He's there to help us. Amen. We have to realize, he said here, we have to realize that life is short. It's short, it's fleeting. As Brother Chris was talking about today, he said it's like a vapor and it's gone. You know, it doesn't seem like just a moment in time and it's gone. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years just fly by. Now, you young people, it doesn't seem like that. Amen. Do you young'uns waiting to get your driver's license so you can become mobile? It seems like it'll take forever till you get to be 16. But take my word for it. You'll turn 16, you'll get your driver's license, you'll wake up the next day and you'll be 30 years old. Amen. Ain't I telling the truth? See, I get amen right there?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We hurry, we push through life to try to get, you know, further along, just further along, down the road a little further, and praise God, all we're doing is wishing our life away. I tell these youngins all the time, praise God, stay in school, enjoy school, praise God, get all the education, can learn as much as you can, have your friends, amen, good godly friends, enjoy it. Because it'll be gone and it'll in an instant. I remember when I was in high school, me and a fellow, we were tight. We ran cross country together. We wrestled together. We hunted together. It was back when you could stick your rifle in the rifle rack in the back of your truck, take it to school with you. Amen. Your rifle or your shotgun, praise God. When school was out, we'd hit the truck. We'd run out. We'd get to the field, praise God, and we'd go hunting. I mean, we were friends. We were buddies. Amen. We done it all through high school. We graduated in 82, and the last time I seen him was graduation night. I haven't seen him since. That's crazy. We were close. We thought we'd be inseparable from now on. But we parted on graduation night, and I've not seen him since. Amen. It's fleeting. Just a moment, and it's gone. Life is short. Amen. And not only is life short, but look what he says here in verse 14. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Well, that's a good question. What is your life? If a man asks you, say, well, you know that old program used to be on, what is your life? Amen. What is your life? What are you living for? Who are you living for? Amen. I'm just going to live for Jesus. And one day He's promised to pluck me up out of here and take me home, where I'll be with Him forever, because that's His desire. Amen. He said, what is your life? He said, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. This is your life. Amen. It's kind of like the dew on the grass in the morning when the sun comes up. You let that sun get up good, praise God, and that dew, in 30 minutes or hour at the most, it's gone. He said, that's what our life is. It's short. And we don't know what our life holds. Amen. But we don't know who holds tomorrow. But praise God, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Amen. It's the Lord God of heaven, praise God. He owns it all, praise God. So we see how this thing, we make plans. It says here, we make plans according to His will. He said, for that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. Amen. If it be pleasing to God, I'm going to get up in the morning. If it be pleasing to God, I'm going to do these things that I need to do with His help. Amen. I've learned a long time ago, it's a whole lot easier to ask God to help you to do things than to try to do them by yourself. Now, that's a man thing. Now, listen to me. All you fellas, it's a man thing. Try to do them by yourself, you know, without the instructions. Amen. And then try to fix it when you messed it all up. Or call your wife. Amen. I'm not ashamed of that. I do it all the time. I get on my computer. The only time I hardly ever get on is when I do the Pastor Corner stuff for Miss Brenda. And I'll get to typing on there and get to going. All of a sudden I'll hit a wrong button. It's gone. Gone. Can't be found. Luckily I have intercom. You say, you pray and talk to God? No, I call and talk to Teresa. And I say, honey, help. And she says, okay, I'm on my way. She knows what it is for her. I don't even have to say it. And she comes help me after I've already messed up. Amen. So I decided I just let her type it up for me. She types a whole lot faster than I do anyway. I go, you know what I'm talking about, Brother Junior. I took typing 1 year in high school, 10th grade. Amen. Only typing her head. But she does it so much better, so much more efficiently. Amen. So I just let her take care of it. I just start letting her take care of type it up for me. And amen. She can even go on there and send it. Sometimes I send it, but I don't know where it goes. Brenda said, I said, have you got it? She said, I ain't got nothing. Amen. It could be anywhere. But we ask, if we put God first, we ask Him to help us. James is trying to reiterate here. He said, hey, listen, church. He said, the church is in the world, but we're not of the world. And let's just trust God to help us to get through this thing. Let's put our faith and our confidence in Him. Amen. And He'll minister to us and help us to get to where we'll be, where we can be pleasing to God. Amen. So that we can finish well, so that one day He'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. A servant of the Most High God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think that all fits. Amen. Praise God. He said, this is what makes a church. Just realizing, praise God, that selfishness and worldliness and criticism and boasting don't have a place. It doesn't help us. But the Lord, praise God, the will of God makes the difference. He said, but now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing, He said, it's evil. He said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's still sin. It's still just as prevalent. It's more prevalent than it ever was. Sinfulness, going against the things that we know is right, calling right wrong. And God says we need to quit it. James says we need to stop it, and we need to put our faith and trust in the Lord, because He's the one that can help the church stay in the right path, do the right things, amen, and keep the church in the world, but not the world in the church. So in order to do that, praise God, we've got to keep the world out of us. Amen. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to separate us. We have to choose to separate ourselves from worldliness. Amen. Somebody is talking to me the other day, and they said, you know, I don't understand what's happening. You know, it used to be a bad thing to be an alcoholic. You know, to drink strong drink, alcohol. Amen. And it still is. God, He never changed His mind. He said, woe to a man that put strong drink to his neighbor's lips. Amen. So what is He saying? He said, if your neighbor, somebody around you sees you drinking a strong drink, alcohol, He said, it's sin. Amen. Because there's people out there that can't deal with that. Amen. It gets a hold of them. It pulls them into the pit. And we need God, praise God. We need to be a witness to them. We need to be an example. Praise God. We need to come down the house and get excited about the Lord. Really, show them that we can get high without drugs and alcohol. We can get full of the Spirit of God, and we can have God minister to us. We can get so excited to Him, praise God, we can't contain it. Amen. Praise God. And that's all right. Because we're praising and giving Him glory. You say, well, preacher, is it about feelings? No, but praise God, I'm glad you can feel it. I'm glad I know what's in me, praise God. I can feel the presence of the Lord in my life. Amen. Yeah, and I can remember it the next day. I don't wake up with a hangover, headache. Amen. Broke. Praise God. Still got my wallet in my pocket, money in my wallet. Praise God. And I don't feel bad. God be the glory. But it's the world, praise God. The church in the world, but not the world in the church. We separate ourselves from it, praise God, and we allow God to help us. And God begins to manifest Himself to us. We begin to look right, act right, dress right. Amen. We don't run around exposing a whole bunch of skin for the world to see. I don't need to see all that. Amen. We need to cover up. Praise God. That's common sense. God teaches us to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because God is good. The church in the world, but not the world in the church. We need Him today. Amen. And not the things this world has. Praise God. But we can be a light to the world. Salt and light to a lost and dying world, a church in the world. He says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Amen. The church in the world today ought to be showing the world, now listen to me, how to do right. How to do right, how to live right, act right. Amen. How to pray right and how to react right. A lot of things depends on our reactions. How we react. That's what people see. So we have to learn to act and react in a godly manner. Amen.